Global markets are mixed but largely performing in lukewarm territory. The only standout in the United States, for example, is the Dow Jones, which on last inspection was up around 0.5%. European markets are also flat. The local all-share index bucked the trend today, closing up 0.75% at 56,249 index points. It seems most counters were up on the day here on the South African market, with financials also up 0.75%, resources 1.3%, and industrials gaining a mere 0.27%. The gold counters had a good end. They were up 2.65%, perhaps reflecting the surge in the gold price. That's now trading within a $5 whisker of $2,000 an ounce. The oil price is also up, but steady, around $44 a barrel. The local currency can't seem to shake off its weakening trend. It's trading around 17.39 against the US dollar, 20.46 vis-a-vis the euro, and 22.71 against the British pound. To take us through some of the issues, I'm joined on the line by Chantelle Marks. She's the head of research at FNB Wealth and Investments. Thank you so much for joining us, Chantelle.
It's only a pleasure, Normpu. It's great to be here.
Good stuff. So, like I say, seems like lukewarm territory in the rest of the world. Is that how you would characterize it? What are the key drivers?
Well, I mean, for the South African market, I think it took the lead from the US overnight that did quite well, along with Asian markets. Obviously, a weaker rand also helping those resources stocks, which tend to do well when the rand is weaker, because, of course, their product is also sold in dollars.
Yes.
So they make more rands when the rand weakens. And then we also saw a bit of movement on the retail side. It seems as if there's quite a bit of interest in what's happening between Cashbuild and Pepkor. Both of those stocks were up quite significantly. And then there also was a little bit of bottom picking, I think, out there. Bidvest up very strongly on the day. I know there was a broker upgrade early this morning, but perhaps just rebounding off very, very low levels.
Okay, we'll come to some of those details that you've highlighted in a bit. But the gold price, as I say, it's within a whisker of $2,000 an ounce. Is it still a good place to be, gold?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you bought gold at the beginning of the year, you made an extremely good investment and an extremely good call.
Mm.
Generally, when you are investing in gold specifically or directly, you want to invest in gold when things are going exceptionally well everywhere and no one can see what could possibly go wrong with the world.
Mm.
That's probably where it will add the most benefit to your portfolio, because when things inevitably do go wrong, the gold price tends to do quite well. The issue is that the gold price has rallied quite a bit now, and now you're thinking to yourself, wow, am I going to miss out here? And I mean, gold could stay high for quite some time, and if inflation starts coming through, it could go higher still. But I think that it's probably a better idea to think about owning gold shares right now if you think that gold is going to remain quite high, because I think most of the benefits in the physical commodity may have already come through.
Makes sense. And then there does seem to be a bit of concern about oil, that the price could falter again, as coronavirus infections, pardon me, continue to rise around the world. And, you know, some countries are deciding to do lockdowns in certain parts of their countries. There's a fear that demand may dissipate as a result, not to mention the fact as well that there is a surplus of the stuff around the world. And on top of that, OPEC Plus, which includes Russia, they're also set to increase oil production. How do you see that market right now? And could we see those dramatic levels that we saw a few months ago?
So I think risks are certainly tilted to the downside. I think that OPEC Plus, the rhetoric, I think, or the bark might be a little bit more than the bite, because ultimately it makes absolutely zero sense for them to start driving down the oil price again. I think that the oil price will probably start recovering or at least stabilizing once we have some sort of idea of what the economic growth trajectory is going to look like over the next few years. Probably oil went a little bit too low. I don't think oil prices should be negative at the beginning of the year. But yeah, you do have risks tilted to the downside right now, particularly given the uncertainty going forward.
I read something somewhere about how traders based in London made an absolute killing over the oil prices going into negative territory. Without getting too technical, how does one make a killing in that regard?
I have absolutely no idea. I looked at the exact same article and I thought to myself, good for you. I'm not even going to go into that specific strategy of how that played out. But beware, it's very, very difficult to benefit from these sorts of trades, and they generally carry exceptionally high risk. So low probability event, but good for them.
Okay, fair enough. And then let's look at a few stocks. Like you say, Cash Build has proposed to buy Pepkor's building company for the consideration is 1.07 billion rand. And of course, Pepkor is part of the Steinhoff Group, and they're going to be using those proceeds to bring down their debt. And for Cash Build, the plus is that it's going to give them more of a retail presence in other parts of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for Pepkor, it makes sense. The business doesn't really fit in with their traditional businesses of value and discount retail, which would include Pep and Ackermans and a couple of other businesses. And they've also struggled to get it fit for purpose almost. So the building company has been an underperformer for Pep for quite some time. So it makes sense in that way. And as you also mentioned, they need to bring down their debt a little bit. For Cash Build, it also makes sense because it slots into what their business is already doing. Both Cash Build and P&L Hardware are in kind of in building equipment and goods. So it does fit in there. It's going to almost double their revenue. And Cash Build actually is one of the companies in South Africa currently that has very little debt. They actually do have money to deploy, and they're taking this opportunity where they are probably going to be able to pick something up a little bit more cheaply than they would have in the past. So it seems like a good thing on the face of it. Obviously, execution risk is still there, but I think it makes sense for both parties.
Yeah. And then Pick n Pay, they put out a trading statement or an update saying that they could lose earnings, or their earnings could drop to the tune of 50%. That seems rather hectic, especially when you juxtapose that against what SPAR was telling the market yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, ShopRite said yesterday that their earnings is going to increase by close to 20% year on year. But this is, you have to think about it in the context of what specific reporting periods we're talking about. So ShopRite's trading update was for the 52 weeks to the end of June, which means they had a full 7 months or 8 months of trading without COVID-19 impacts.
Yes.
This specific trading update from Pick n Pay relates to the 6 months between March and the end of August. You cannot get a worse period on which you need to report on. So you have to take that into account. And then the second thing that you need to take into account as well is that they have a voluntary severance program that they've had in place for quite some time in order to reduce their very bulky labor force. And a lot of those charges are going to come through in this specific period, and the cost savings will only come through in the next reporting period or the next 6 months. So we will probably see a much better next 6 months from Pick n Pay. So the result looks a lot worse, I think, than it actually is.
Nicely explained. And then, of course, we heard about South African breweries and also Heineken deciding to take money off the table that they were planning to inject in the South African economy in terms of investment. And of course, this is on the back of the lack of revenue in the alcohol industry. This is, we've kind of shot ourselves in the foot with this.
Yeah, so I think that it's a couple of things, but I think the fact that you don't have specific revenue, you don't have revenue or income in the region currently, it results in you having to be, you're basically forced to preserve cash for the time being. Assuming demand does recover at some point in time, the business case still makes sense longer term for them to deploy that capital. So it might not be off the table forever, but certainly for now, they're not going to be deploying it, and that'll be very negative for South Africa from a fixed investment perspective. And it's specifically one of those areas where the president and his team has really been trying to implore on companies to get involved in. So unfortunate from a timing perspective, I think, but not entirely unexpected.
Fair enough. Chantel, thank you so much for your time. As always, that was Chantel Marks. She's the head of research at FNB Wealth and Investments.